Would you please stand? We meet in the presence of God, who knows our needs, hears our cries, feels our pain, and heals our wounds. The Lord be with you. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice? And to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. We commit ourselves to work in penitence and faith for reconciliation between the nations, that all people may together live in freedom, justice, and peace. We pray for all who in bereavement, disability, and pain continue to suffer the consequences of fighting or terror. We remember with thanksgiving and sorrow those whose lives in two world wars and conflicts past and present have been given and taken away. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn, at the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them.
We will remember them. Ever-living God, we remember those whom you have gathered from the storm of war into the peace of your presence. May that same peace calm our fears, bring justice to all peoples, and establish harmony among the nations through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen. sing the supreme sacrifice, O valiant hearts who to your glory came.
Of sacrifice.
welcome everybody to this service of morning prayer on Remembrance Sunday. We meet a few days in advance of the anniversary of Armistice Day, when exactly 100 years ago, the cenotaph at Whitehall was unveiled and the unknown soldier was interred at Westminster Abbey. We focus, of course, on those who served and died in two world wars and other conflicts, but we also focus on the service of the armed services today, particularly in how they have been at the front line in all that is taking place against the coronavirus. We are very pleased to have with us today our Bishop, the Right Reverend David MacLay, and we look forward to his ministry of the word later in the service. And pleased also that he is accompanied by his wife Hilary. Beloved in Christ, we have come together to recall the presence of God, the Father of us all, maker and sustainer of all that is, whose love is never withheld and whose mercy never passes away. We remember his faithfulness in times of darkness and despair. We thank him for all who counted the service of others greater than the service of self, and who gave their lives that we might live. We rededicate ourselves in his service, that his will may be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that his kingdom of peace and joy may fill the hearts of people everywhere. But first, we acknowledge our failure to live as children of one Father in the world entrusted to us, with all its sins and shortcomings, its pride, its selfishness, its greed, its evil divisions and hatreds. Let us kneel and confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that has passed, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouth will proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
Psalm 46.
Our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains tremble in the heart of the sea. Though the waters rage and swell, And though the mountains quake at the towering seas, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the dwelling of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, therefore shall she not be removed. God shall help her at the break of day. The nations are in uproar and the kingdoms are shaken, but God utters his voice and the earth shall melt away. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come and behold the works of the Lord, what destruction he has wrought upon the earth. He makes wars to cease in all the world. He shatters the bow and snaps the spear and burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37, beginning at verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all round them. They were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord.
The Canticle, Herbs Fortitudinis.
Strong city, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for our rock of ages is the Lord. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou that art upright dost direct the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The New Testament reading is from the Revelation of St. John the Divine, chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, See, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children."
The Canticle Benedictus.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a mighty salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our forefathers, and to remember his holy covenant, to perform the oath which he sware to our forefather Abraham, that he would give us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And the child shall be called the Prophet of the Highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people for the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father and to Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the Queen.
And grant her government wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let your servants shine for joy.
O Lord, save your people.
And bless those whom you have chosen.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, make clean our hearts within us.
And renew us by your Holy Spirit.
Almighty Father, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of all, govern the hearts and minds of those in authority, and bring the families of the nations, divided and torn apart by the ravages of sin, to be subject to his just and gentle rule, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We recall all servicemen and women, especially from the United Kingdom, who gave their lives in two world wars and other conflicts, each one remembered by and known to God. With them, we remember those who loved them in death as in life, their families, their colleagues, and their friends. O God of truth and justice, we hold before you those whose memory we cherish, and those whose names we will never know. Help us to lift our eyes above the torment of this broken world, and grant us grace to pray for those who wish us harm. As we honor the past, may we put our faith in your future, for you are the source of life and hope, now and forever. We pray for all who suffer as a result of war, the injured, disabled, and mentally distressed, for civilian women, children, and men whose lives are disfigured by war or terror, the bereaved, all who have lost their livelihood or security, and those whose faith in God has been weakened or destroyed. We also pray for the Royal British Legion and other fellowships of men and women who are dedicated to the relief of those in need. O Christ, our Master and Redeemer, you were wounded for the salvation of all, and your body broken for the peace of the world. Hear us, therefore, as we commend to your care all who have been wounded in body, mind, or spirit, especially in recent conflict, and for whom life will never be the same. Grant them healing of body and mind, strengthening of spirit and confidence, and whatever the future holds for them, the encouragement of good companionship and of understanding love for your dear sake. We pray for all in positions of responsibility, especially all who bear the burden of political, military, or religious leadership. We pray for the Queen, the Prime Minister and government, as well as the leaders of all countries represented at the United Nations organization. We pray that all church leaders may give voice to the Christian concern for justice and holiness. Almighty God, we pray for those who occupy high office in this and all the nations of the world. Help them to lead wisely and well, to seek the welfare of all the people, and to make their contribution to the stability, well-being, and peace of the world through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray for the armed services, the Army, Navy, and Air Force, and those who serve in all ranks of the Police Service of Northern Ireland, the Northern Ireland Prison Service, and the Royal Irish Regiment. We pray for the emergency services everywhere and for all who work in the face of great danger day by day to establish peace and security and the well-being of people. To your care and protection, O Lord of hosts, we commend the men and women of our security forces at home and abroad, as well as all aid, medical, and reconstruction workers. Defend them in the hour of danger, strengthen them in the fulfillment of their duty, and enable them to serve their country with loyalty, courage, and honor through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We bring before God, in penitence, the hatreds of our world, the deep divisions of our humanity. We ask for a new understanding, a new resolve, a new obedience to the law of love. We pray for peace. Lord Christ, you are our peace, for by your cross you have broken down the dividing wall of hostility between the nations. By the power of your Spirit, reconcile us to the Father and to our brothers and sisters of every nationality and culture, that we may be no longer strangers to one another, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, for the glory of your name. Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our needs before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness, and give us those things which for our unworthiness we dare not, and in our blindness we cannot ask, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. The hymn, I vow to thee, my country, all earthly things above.
I vow to thee, my country, all earthly things above. Of my love, the love that asks no question, the love that stands the test, that lays upon the altar the dearest and the best, the love that never falters, the love
that pays the price, the love that makes undaunted a final sacrifice. And there's another country I've heard of long ago, most dear to them that saw. Is a faithful heart, her pride is suffering, and soul by soul and silently her shining bounds increase, and her ways are ways of gentleness, and all her
so we pray, come, Holy Spirit, may your word, Lord God, be our rule, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and the glory of Jesus our supreme concern. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please take your seats. It is a great joy to be with you this morning and to join with your rector and with you as a congregation this morning here in Annahilt. I'm going to look for a few moments this morning at the Old Testament reading, those verses from Ezekiel chapter 37. On this Remembrance Day, we tend to look back, and it's right that we should look back. And whenever you do look back on the pages of history, you can see how in different ages past, people could so easily have been overcome by hopelessness and overcome by despair that they could have felt totally trapped in the world in which they found themselves. Those of us who are old enough to remember can remember the 30 years of trouble and murder and mayhem here in our own province, and all that was part of that. The division and the suspicion and the fear and the hatred that was so much part of that. There was the years of depression before that followed two world wars, and how that impacted the lives of many, and particularly the poorer communities of Europe. And then there may be some who can even remember the advance of the dictator and the tyrant, Adolf Hitler, during the Second World War. The slaughter of young lives, the slaughter of so many during those years. And then there were the countless thousands who died in the trenches, sent out from this province, many of them, who died in the First World War in France and in other parts of Europe. And yet, you know, we emerged. And we emerged from despair into seasons of hope and into seasons of recovery. This passage in Ezekiel chapter 37 is a vision where the prophet Ezekiel has a vision. We don't know whether he actually was in a real valley, but he certainly, through the eye of the Holy Spirit, heard the voice of God and was given an incredible vision by God. Setting this in its historical context, Ezekiel was a prophet. He was a proclaimer of God's word. But he was also someone who wasn't unfamiliar with war. He wasn't unfamiliar with destruction, and he wasn't unfamiliar with a people around him who felt that much was hopeless. He had been part of and had lived through the destruction of the city of Jerusalem in the year 586 BC. He understood the plight of those who had been carried off into exile and who ended up as prisoners of war. So this Old Testament reading that was read for us this morning actually finds its historical setting in a context of hopelessness and despair and fear and uncertainty. And yet, Ezekiel was a man who was deeply rooted in trusting God, deeply rooted, and he knew and he would now see God actually show him in a vision that this God was the God who makes dead things come to life again, who brings hope where there is despair. Ezekiel is a man who knows God. He's committed to God. He knows who God is, and he's trusting in his God. He's trusting in the all-powerful, transcendent God who he also understands to be holy, to be perfect, and to be true, and to be just. A God who is able to bring dead things to life. A God who is able to do far more abundantly beyond anything that he would ask for or think about or imagine. And fast forward to today, where you and I find ourselves living in a world that, well, none of us have been to before. A world where there's a worldwide pandemic. Others before us have been here, but not us. A world where there is this disease that so far across the nations of our world has claimed well over 1 million lives. And in our own islands here, 50,000 or so lives. A world, too, not only that's going through a time of pandemic, but a world where there's real unrest and political unrest and social unrest and, let's acknowledge it, incredible intolerance and greed and selfishness. And yet, we're here in church this morning. We're a people of hope. We're a people who believe in a God who brings dead things to life, just as Ezekiel believed that. It, for us, is brought about through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, where God gives us a brand new day and a new hope and a new purpose in living. For Ezekiel, in this vision, God is the life giver. And we in our day and in this moment, in this hour, in this season, need to discover for ourselves afresh that the God we worship is the God who is the life giver. When God created us in his image and in his likeness, we are told that he breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, back in the book of Genesis, verse 7 of chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. God is the God of life. He gives life. And in Ezekiel's vision here, there's a valley. And this valley is full of death. It's full of dead bones. Bones that have been there for a long time. They're dry. They're dead. It's a picture of death. It's a picture of despair. The first two verses tell us, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and the Lord brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, they were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. It's a picture of death. It's a picture of despair. It's a pretty hopeless sort of picture. And we may feel, in our world today, where is all of this going to end? It's so easy, actually, if we're honest, for us to be overcome by despair and by hopelessness. But in this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 37, God goes on to ask Ezekiel a question. And it's a question that God would ask the church today and would ask me and would ask you this morning, verse 3. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And God asks us that question. He wants his church to live. He wants you and I as men and women to be spiritually alive, to be the sources of life and the sources of blessing in our world today. He is the source of life, and life that is life in all its fullness. He's the source of eternal life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the one who literally raises the dead to life. And he breathes on his church, and he breathes into your life and into my life his Holy Spirit. Whenever Jesus was raised from death after being on the cross, after paying the ultimate sacrifice on the cross and dying for the sins of the whole world, he was raised to life again after 3 days. And we read in John chapter 20, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that today gives life to you and to me. It's the same Holy Spirit that brings about new birth in your life and in my life. It's the same Holy Spirit that makes us spiritually alive and makes us a people of hope in a world of despair and in a world of pandemic and in a world of death and in a world of fear. It's the same Holy Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost. We read in Acts, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And on that same day of Pentecost, Peter would declare, but this is what was uttered through the prophets. In the last days it shall be, God declared, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. The church, that's me, that's you. We need a fresh outpouring. If ever we needed a fresh outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, it's today. And if ever the world needed a church that was filled afresh and renewed and re-energized by the work of God's Holy Spirit, it's today. If ever the world needed a church that's alive, that's a church that is committed to proclaiming the word as Ezekiel was here, and in inviting the Spirit to bring life where there's death, it's today. Back in the time of the Second World War, the King George, called the nation to prayer during that particular season. And the direction of the war was turned after a national day of prayer, where those in authority recognized that we needed the new life of God's Spirit, that we needed God himself to move and to act in our world. During the 30 years of trouble in this province, there were courageous church leaders like Cecil Kerr and Russ Trevor or Brother David Jardine who continually and constantly called people across the divide to come together to pray for an outpouring of the Spirit, and that the church might rise up and proclaim Christ. And God moved. And we're living in a different day and in a better day, not a perfect day, but certainly as a province in a different day. And you may have come across people like David Hamilton and others. David was a UVF terrorist who joined the UVF after being beaten up as a teenage lad by his Catholic neighbours, who were young lads too. And later,
another young man who was a Roman Catholic lad who had been beaten up by the Protestant young lads in his community. Both these men, many years later, after they had met Christ, would go round quite literally the nations of Europe preaching Christ, from very different backgrounds, but men whose lives had been turned inside out and upside down and transformed by the good news of Jesus, by the Spirit of God. That brings dead things to life, that makes wrong things right, and that is the God of transformation, the God of healing, and the God of change. Ezekiel believed this, and we read in verses 4 and 6, "Then he said to me, 'Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.'" Friends, our world needs a church that will show the world, by our proclamation of the Word, by our living out of the Word of God, and by our calling down from heaven the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, as we would say, "Come, Holy Spirit," may our world see that our God brings life where there's destruction and can turn things around. We are in the midst of, quite literally, a different sort of war. A war against a virus that's ravaging the whole earth. We're also in the middle of a war, a racial war, actually, where in the nations of the world, greed is causing man to be suspicious of his fellow man and greedy over his fellow man, and actually despiteful of his fellow man because of color or race or background. Ezekiel here knew that his hour was an hour to be obedient. His hour was an hour to speak the word of God and to live the word of God. We read, "So I prophesied as I was commanded." These are days for the church to be the church and do the things that the church is called to do, to preach good news to the poor, to care for the broken, and to be those that bring change and transformation and even blessing and hope to the society around us. We read, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them." In obedience to God, Ezekiel sees quite literally in his vision death transformed into life. On this Remembrance Sunday, as we look back, we need to be those who in this moment actually respond to the moment in front of us and become and increasingly be a church that is a church that is being renewed and transformed and invigorated and enlivened and empowered and anointed by the Holy Spirit to proclaim Christ. We read as we continue, "Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army." May the church arise as an army in these days. An army that has received the life and the infilling in a fresh and in a new way of God the Holy Spirit, so that we would bring hope where there's despair, life where there's death, healing where there's injury, and peace where there's turmoil. As the old hymn puts it, Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there's hatred, may we bring love. Where there's injury, may we bring pardon. Where there's doubt, may we bring faith. Where there's despair, may we bring hope. And it's all our gift, and a gift to us, because of the one supreme and greatest sacrifice that was ever made, the sacrifice of the Son of God, who died in your place and in my place for our salvation. Paul summed it up when he said in Romans 8, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Holy Spirit who lives in you. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us as we invite Christ to live in our lives. We become a church. We become women and men who are spiritually alive. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. But without Christ in our lives, we are dead in our sins, and without Christ in our lives, we are without hope in the world. Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice. He did all that needed to be done for you and for me to be forgiven and to not die eternally, but to have eternal life. He paid the price, and he paid it fully and totally and completely. He made the one once for all and all sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, mine and yours. And he promises to live in us. He promises to live in his church so that we might prophesy to the four winds, in other words, to any and every direction, bringing life and hope and blessing. That's the task of the church. We're here not to be blessed, but we're here to be a blessing. Let's make sure that we are those who are trusting in these days in Christ, who have made for ourselves and owned all those benefits of his cross and of his passion, that Christ lives in us and that his Holy Spirit is indwelling us. And so on this Remembrance Day, I'd love us to do something together and take just a moment to be still again and to make for ourselves a fresh commitment to Jesus Christ, that we would say to him that we want to be his hope givers, life givers in his world. But first of all, we need perhaps to be made alive again ourselves and renewed and refreshed again with his Holy Spirit. So let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray a very simple prayer of commitment that I'd encourage us just to silently pray in our hearts and lives. A prayer that we would make ours on this Remembrance Sunday in the year 2020. Lord Jesus Christ, as best I know how, I choose this morning to believe in Jesus. I choose to believe, Lord Jesus, that you paid the ultimate sacrifice and that you died on the cross in my place. And so, Lord Jesus, in a fresh way, in a new way, I renew my commitment to you. I trust in you. So, Holy Spirit, come and dwell in me. Fill me with your life. Make what's dead in me come alive. That, Lord Jesus, as part of your church, I would be a life giver. Grant this for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our God. Amen. Amen.
In present circumstances, the collection will not be taken at this point in the service. Free will offering envelopes may be left in the basket provided, and the loose collection this morning will be in favour of the poppy appeal. The hymn, Hope for the World's Despair.
Of every fear.
love's precious seed.
Let us commit ourselves to responsible living and faithful service. Will you strive for all that makes for peace? Will you seek to heal the wounds of war? Will you work for a just future for all humanity? Let us pray. Merciful Lord, we offer you the fears in us that have not yet been cast out by love. May we accept the hope you have placed in the hearts of all people and live lives of justice, courage, and mercy through Jesus Christ, our risen Redeemer.
God grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, to the Church, the Queen, and the Commonwealth, and all people unity, peace, and concord. And to us and to all his servants, life everlasting. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and with those you love, and all those for whom you pray. Be with you and with them, and remain with you and with them this day and always.
Service draws to a close. May I thank our organist today, Tim Howe, for his splendid accompaniment to the singing and the other incidental music he was playing. Thanks also to Adeline and to Hilary, our readers, and to the Bishop for his thoughtful and thought-provoking sermon today. Also, if I might include Barbara Oliver for the magnificent arrangement of poppies, and to Colin Hassert for his help with the order of service today. Today is Graham Galbraith's last day in office as the People's Church Warden. We are indebted to Graham for kindly agreeing to assume this position at the recent General Vestry on an interim basis and do sincerely thank him. I'm delighted to announce that Ivan Bradford has agreed to assume the office of People's Warden until the end of the year and has been co-opted by the Select Vestry accordingly. We congratulate Ivan and wish him well during his period of office. the food bank to which we contribute is making requests for items of schlur and small selection boxes which would be put together in Christmas hampers. These may be left here in church over the next two Sundays, or by arrangement with Louise McGregor, who is willing to call with donors and pick up the donated items on their doorsteps at a mutually convenient time. Please keep this request very much in mind. There was a tremendous response to it last year, and I hope it will be the same this year. Schlur and small selection box items for the food bank Christmas hampers. Sunday next, the second Sunday before Advent, parish communion at 10 o'clock. And those who intend being present, please inform the church wardens or Graham Galbraith or Aileen Stockdale. Contact details are on the parish website or included in the parish magazine. The recessional hymn, O God, our help in ages past. Neither death nor life can separate us from the love of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.